It's only right and fair that people have access to the health care they need, and that they have access to health care in an environment where they are treated with dignity and respect. And please do understand that when we talk about a clinic such as this, it is absolutely about health care and reproductive health care. So everyone get ready for the language, uterus. That part of the body needs a lot of medical care from time to time. Issues like fibroids, we can handle this. Breast cancer screenings, contraceptive care. That is the kind of work that happens here, in addition, of course, to abortion care. So to have laws in states that have caused clinics like this to shut down so that women have no access within any reasonable distance of where they live to get this vital care that is necessary to address their health needs and concerns.
I'm trying to figure out what abortion care is, and that's because that was Kamala Harris talking about this, and I just don't know what that is. Like, what is abortion care? I this is where she was yesterday. She was at, what was it? It was some Planned Parenthood clinic. Where was it at? In Minnesota or Michigan? It was somewhere up north where Biden needs votes. That's all I know. And that's where she was. She decided to go up there for some reason instead of having them all, I don't know, instead of going to the border maybe or going to Florida to see what Florida's dealing with because they're dealing with some crazy stuff right now. All of that. I mean, that's what she ended up, that's what she was doing. So I don't know. I don't know. That's the, we're going to break this down because I found that to be so pandering and so insulting. I said on Jesse Waters last night that I felt like it's the equivalent of a woman going to like purchase a car. And I'm not saying this about all car salesmen. Dear heaven on earth, I swear to you, I will print out the hate mails about it. Find where you live and shoot them at your home on fire. But it felt, you know, like when you, the old adage of like a woman going to buy a car and the salesman shows her all this stuff about cup holders and lighted mirrors and all this garbage. And she just wants to know, like, okay, well, what's the horsepower and how many miles and all this stuff. That's what Democrats do to women. Every election they do this. I am so, first off, welcome to the show. Dana Lash here with you. It's Friday. And I'm going to get you set up for the weekend. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the video component. Channel 347, DirecTV. I'm reading the I'm looking at the transcript of her remarks right now. If you're wondering why I'm looking down, it's the video component of the radio program. But I'm reading her. It doesn't make it better when sometimes you hear someone's tone and you're like, that sounds really crappy. And then you're like, well, let me just go read the transcript of this. And it's still bad. It's still bad. I am so tired of every single election Democrats pandering to women. It's the same damn thing election after election after election. Your abortions, your abortions, your abortions. You stupid broads, you only care about your vaginal related issues. You only care about abortions. You only care about, it's every election. As though we're too stupid to be concerned about what's happening at the southern border. As though we're, these same people that claim to care about women so much are the first ones to sell us out when it comes to sports. They're the first ones to sell us out when it comes to men getting into women's spaces. They're the first ones to sell us out with our kids when they say, oh yeah, your kids can go ahead and have this experimental hormonal quote-unquote care that's going to jack them up and make them depend upon pharmaceuticals for life, and there's no long-term studies at all whatsoever that shows the adverse reaction that this has on their little developing bodies. They're the first people to sell you out. Oh, but wait a minute, they care about you because abortions. I do. The good Lord above has not given me enough middle fingers for that sentiment. So the whole, she's going there. That's where she went. Did you see the way they made such a big deal out of it? Let me pull this headline up. So they're saying, oh my gosh, she's the first. She's like the first president, vice president, etc. It's historic. Historic, Kane. Absolutely historic. Remember when it was safe, legal, and rare? Isn't that what they said?
Oh, yeah. Mm. I wonder why it's so historic. Why no one's ever done this before.
If it's so safe, legal, and rare, why the hell is the vice president of the United States there if it's so, you know, rare? Because they want to mainstream it further. They want to make this. They don't want to make this whole thing about how you're broke and how we have a deluge coming across the border. They want to make it about, but your abortions, because that's where they feel like they have some kind of advantage, I guess, over Republicans. That's what they're doing. Oh my goodness. It's historic. I'm counting on my headlines here. How historic this is. It's so historic, you guys. It's so crazy. It's so unbelievably historic. She's there. Can you believe it? But what is it going to do for voters? I guess maybe with some people, it works. I guess that it moves the needle a little bit, maybe. But that's kind of sad that it looks like that. I mean, to me, that's sad. It's sad because it's so little. Now, we had all this news coming out yesterday about the whole Haitian maritime invasion, etc., that's happening at the border, and how you have Governor Ron DeSantis, who's sending out everybody that he possibly can in order to repel what's happening here at the border. It's kind of a little crazy. And there, the Florida border, at least, trying to deal with that. So she didn't say anything about that. When she went to the southern border, didn't she go to El Paso? Like they all go to the most sanitized portion of it possible. And I think she went to El Paso. I think he went to El Paso too, Biden. And they went to the most sanitized portion. She stayed there for like an hour or something, maybe an hour and a half. Gets back on the plane, flies back to wherever the hell she's going. And Biden's the same way. But I think she spent a little bit more time there. What was she going to do? She's just like going to go through there and help. Like, seriously, like, what is she doing? What the hell is she doing there? Is she going to go there and help?
She was supposed to go to these countries and stop the flow from the source. Remember that? Remember that in the first year?
No, I'm talking about the abortion clinic.
Oh, yeah. But as it relates to the border, that's what I'm talking about.
She's going to, let me help you. Let me help you with this baby. Let me help you with this baby. Can I hear her soundbite one more time? And I swear I will end up moving on, but I'm just amazed at how pandering this is. I want to hear the part where she acts like we're afraid of language.
That people have access to the health care they need, and that they have access to health care in an environment where they are treated with dignity and respect.
Well, no, what does she say when she was...
And please do understand that when we talk about a clinic such as this, it is absolutely about health care and reproductive health care. So everyone get ready for the language.
Oh, here it is.
Uterus. That part of the body needs a lot of medical care from time to time.
Wait, what did she say?
Issues like fibroid.
Uterus.
Why is that like a word she's got to be like, oh my gosh, it's...
Uterus.
Why does she act like that's a word people are afraid of saying? Get ready for this word, guys. Get ready for it.
Uterus.
I'm never going to stop it. You guys should have never given me a soundboard. It's just never going to...
Uterus.
Never going to stop, ever. All right, so we got a lot more on that. We're also going to touch on some of this other stuff. The TikTok, the bill's still fighting in the Senate. They're fighting over it in the Senate. Former Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin is apparently putting together an investor group to buy it. He's not in government anymore, but he is a former government official. I get weird about that stuff, right? I get a little weird about it. So we're gonna talk a little bit more about all of that stuff. And I have to touch on, we mentioned this thing with the Haitian deluge. This NBC article was one of the stupidest things that I have ever read. I'm pulling this up for you right now. And you got this in your prep. If you're one of the subscribers and you get, you know, the email prep and all of this, you have it. The headline, NBC News, Elon Musk and right-wing influencers use cannibal claims to smear Haitian migrants amid crisis. Now, they get mad and they say that essentially, the way that they put it, they act like Elon Musk and people on the right made up the whole cannibal thing. But literally later on in their article, literally, they talk about how, well, they do actually do it, but they do it as like psychological terrorism, not because, you know, they enjoy eating people. That's literally what they're putting in here. I'm using the correct way to say that. They said that they reported in this piece and it was buried way down in it. Well, yes, they actually do eat people, but it's only to scare their enemies. It's not because they enjoy, you know, it's not because they enjoy the delicacy of human flesh. It's, you know, because they... I mean, I don't know. It's NBC. We're supposed to trust them, right? Sure about that. I'm just saying. But I love how they try to defend barbecue. They're like, it's not because he enjoys eating people, which he's done. But it's because his mother was a street vendor who sold fried chicken. You damn right-wing influencers, you. I mean, you eat one person and you're a cannibal. I mean, for the love. That's NBC, and basically. I mean, can a guy eat a person without being called a cannibal? And they said that it makes for easy... They're mad for this guy. They're mad because he's legitimately being called a cannibal.
Don't shame the cannibals.
How dare you, you cannibal shamers. You right-wing influencers. We have more on the way. We got headlines coming up. I can't believe that that's... however much you hate the press, I'm telling you, you don't hate them enough. As we move, our partners that help bring you free radio, our friends over at Gold Co., because everything's horrible. Just go ahead. Everything's bad. It's just the way it is. All right, there it is. But our friends at Gold Co., they want to make it easier for you to, you know, have a hedge against inflation. And the gold IRA field, it actually can seem just absolutely impossible to navigate because there's so much out there, but they make it easy. In fact, they have an education first position and they have very thorough information. They have a one of a kind gold IRA kit for individual buyers. They want to explain the economy and how gold IRAs work. They have unmatched customer service, a zero complaint record, and they're dedicated to transparency and honesty. So they have this whole gold 2024 kit and it helps you navigate the whole thing. It's all for individual buyers. They want to make sure that you understand all of how gold IRAs work, that you can actually own physical gold. No pressure. Ask about their highest buyback guarantee because you could possibly get also $10,000 in bonus silver. So ask them about this. Protect your family's financial future and freedom and get started today at DanaLikesGold.com. Get your free gold kit from Gold Co. and learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver at DanaLikesGold.com.
Where have all the Friday jobs reports gone? The White House used to gloat about their incredible job numbers. The latest report was off by 40%. They are lying to you. What's the real truth about the jobs reports? It's all fake.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Man, yeah, you gotta have the drums kicking on that song. That's such a great song because we have our, you know, our St. Paddy's Day bumper, because some of us, it actually is our culture. Our culture isn't your costume, lefties. All right, so first up, a 45-year-old man was arrested for arson after an argument with his mom over breakfast because he's a loser. Apparently, it's true. This was in Japan. I thought that's so mean. It was in Kyoto. They arrested a 45-year-old unemployed man. I love how Japan today is just going to shame the hell out of this dude. He's an unemployed loser, this 45-year-old tool bag. On suspicion of arson, he set fire to his house following an argument with a 67-year-old mom. According to police, Satoshi Yoshizaki set fire to the house at 8:45 a.m. And his mother fled. She wasn't injured, thankfully, but they got mad. He set fire to a box of tissues, and that's how it started. Now, he lived in the house with his mother and his 42-year-old younger brother. Mom, what you doing here? What you doing, Mom? What's happening? So we also have, let's see here. Oh, the brain needs meat. This is the most obvious headline I've seen in a long time. A Harvard doctor says animal products are essential for mental health and a blow to veganism. She says the brain needs meat, as though your canine teeth didn't clue you in already. You know, if they didn't, then this should help. You know why we have teeth that can tear meat? Because we're supposed to eat meat. And if God didn't want us to eat meat, he would not have made the animals out of them. They said that it's essential for warding off depression and anxiety, which is why, like, super annoying vegans, and you know they're vegan because they tell you all the time. That's why they're sad and anxious. But it's a top nutrition expert they've revealed, sending a blow to veganism. Your brain does need meat. I mean, you need animal proteins. You need this stuff in order to have a healthy life. Okay, neti pots. People, stop using them incorrectly. You're giving yourselves some brain-eating amoebas. So you have to use distilled water. People are apparently filling up their neti pots right out of the tap and then shoving it up their nose. And then, surprise, brain-eating amoeba. And you're shocked by this. Stop it. Use distilled water. And if you can't find distilled water to use, don't do it. It's super simple. So the CDC is like, look, they're warning you about it. It can kill. Because what is the survival rate for brain-eating amoeba? Like negative 50, something like that? You have negative 50% chance of survival. Yeah, you might die twice. It's so deadly. This is nothing that can, you know, nothing you can do. So they said, yeah, don't do that. Because apparently there have been 10 people in the past, what, year or so that have? And just because tap water. I don't understand this. Why people do this. So Kansas City Chiefs story, there have been three more adults charged. This was that Kansas City parade shooting. Prosecutors revealed 6 people fired guns and 12 had weapons on them. Only 5 have been named. But don't call it gang violence or anything like that. You know, it was illegal actually for them to carry technically Kansas City, which goes to show you that only the criminals are going to have guns. You can take them away. These people are so ridiculous. But they said, the court documents said 12 people had brandished them. 6 people fired. At least 6 people. They're actually not even sure. They're figuring it may be 6 people. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store. Law and Order and movies that should not be remade. Stick with us.
Hi, I'm Erica, an English major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arn with a Constitution Minute.
The human soul is made to learn, and the highest things of life are the best things to learn. One of these, it turns out, is the way we govern ourselves, and one of the best examples of that is the Constitution of the United States. It explains what our government should look like and how it should function to best protect our rights. It was created to give us the freedom to make choices about the way we wish to live. Unfortunately, most colleges and universities today fail to teach our Constitution. When they do, they often denigrate it. This is dangerous because it is impossible to preserve our liberty if we don't understand where it comes from and how to protect it. Having a proper civics education is essential to preserving our freedom.
To learn more and get a free pocket constitution, visit constitutionminute.com.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
The second bill is Senate Bill 1036, enhances penalties for a crime committed by an individual who returns to the country illegally after deportation. And what you find in some of these really significant incidents where people are getting raped or murdered is it's not only an illegal alien, but it's somebody that had already been deported from this country and then comes back to commit crimes again. So in the state of Florida, if you have been deported and you come to this state and enter our state and you're here illegally and you commit crimes, we are throwing the book at you. Literally. And you are going to regret coming to the state of Florida.
We're
so I'm happy
hit you
to
in
sign
the face with the book.
That into law.
I feel like he wants to say that. That's Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here, bottom of this first hour. I got to be real with you. I know he's Italian, but because, you know, I'm going to play this up because the left does. I do have some Irish ancestry from a great-great-grandparent. So now you understand why I'm like Street Fighter man. You get it. But I feel like I'm going to include him today because, you know, I just feel like he's standing right there. What's the most southernmost point of the Keys? He's standing right there on that point saying, come at me, bro, to all these boats that are coming in. I love it. We're going to throw the book at you in the face. We're going to beat your A double snakes with the book. And it's not just going to be any book. It's going to be Ulysses by James Joyce, who's an Irish writer, because it's St. Paddy's Day this weekend.
That's no paperback.
Yeah, that's no paperback. And it's, I'm going to get hate mail. No, I'm not, because you all think it too. You were forced to read this book in college. The whole last paragraph the whole last chapter is a damn run-on sentence. It is dry. It's like reading sand. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to be like, oh, I love James Joyce, because people who've never read him say that. There you go.
It's like reading sand.
It is. Have you ever tried that? Rub it in your eyes. It's a great read. So nice. Now, I think that there's like, because I saw some people spreading some nonsense about this, and we're not in a nonsense having mood today, because for three reasons. You want to know what those three reasons are? The first reason is that it's Friday. The second reason is that it's St. Paddy's Day. And so I don't know about you, but as we get closer to St. Paddy's Day, the Irish intensifies. Okay? I'm just saying. And the third is our man Jaime is going to mow the lawn right by the window closest to the studio. And so we just don't have patience today. Anyway, I love Fridays. But I think, what is it? There's been a lot of debate on social media, to my point, what I was just saying, is that they've got to be stopped in the water, because isn't it if they make land, then they treat them like they're crossing the border, and like in the southern border, like in Texas, and then the federal government gets involved, but then they have to stop in Florida waters because you can't go out, you can't go out X amount of miles, because then that's the Coast Guard, and then that falls under federal, and there's like all layers of law. Which is dumb. Just get a t-shirt cannon, convert it into a book cannon, and just fire away, man. That's what I'm saying. See all these books we got? We're throwing them at you with our book cannon.
Cut 17 is DeSantis describing the interdicted vessel that they ran into.
I love the legalese, because in my mind, I'm saying something way harsher. I'm like translating his very statesman-like legalese into something that's not. Audio soundbite 17.
Our Florida Fish and Wildlife officers interdicted a vessel that had 25 illegal immigrants, illegal immigrants from Haiti, in their boat, in their vessel. They had firearms, they had drugs, they had night vision gear, and were boating very recklessly, which would potentially endanger other folks. So that vessel was interdicted near the Sebastian Inlet. And those illegal aliens were turned over to the Coast Guard for deportation. So
they had
our folks have been doing this before we augmented this, and they're going to continue to do it. And we've got an incredible amount of resources that are now on display to be able to prevent. Now, what's different today than maybe in the past? Well, part of it is we have more resources that the state has been willing to put up. And this is not really our responsibility. This is the federal government's responsibility. Coast Guard does, by and large, a good job, but they're undermanned. They're under-resourced. So we're filling those gaps.
I'm just telling you. I'm just saying. So they had night vision.
What the hell is that about?
You know, did you see that article saying, a lot of these Haitian gangs are getting guns from people in America? You mean criminals that are ignoring gun laws because all that's already a felony? And what? You mean the criminals are ignoring the laws? We should have more laws on the law abiding for criminals to ignore.
This nature of the criminal.
If we pass more laws, it'll make the criminals uncriminal. It increases it makes this law illegaler, the crime, and it prevents them from actually committing the crime because
somehow restricting the freedoms of the law abiding some will make criminals stop doing
I saw
stuff.
Gun control people actually arguing that yesterday.
That's ridiculous.
I had to get off Twitter because I almost like injected myself into the internet and then went through all these Twitter accounts beating people up, and I didn't. So I went and played Darktide instead. And then I did a Fox. But anyway, it's just a true story. So anyway, I want to know where that's back the important issue. Where's that night vision? Where's it from? And can I get it? I'd like more, please. Yeah. I don't have any. What? I'm just curious. Just an interested American. Just would like to know. But they're coming over, and they're stopping them in the water. They're doing everything that they can. You're talking about the Coast Guard being under-resourced. I mean, this is a hot mess. But if they keep getting interdicted in the water, then they're going to go to Mexico. They've been going to Mexico already. I'm curious as to what Border Patrol's numbers are going to be, the increase of Haitian crossers specifically, because it was already increasing, particularly with Venezuelans and Haitians, and now it's going to get even worse. And you have Dominican Republic is not playing around. If you're the Dominican Republic, aren't you just tired of all that? By the way, how many times has this happened with Haiti? You're the Dominican Republic. You're just trying to, you know, attract tourists, enjoy the beautiful country that is the Dominican Republic, surf. You're just trying to live your life, you know? And then you got your brethren over here across the border going nuts, eating people in the streets. And NBC's out there defending them. Just saying. We have more on this. I also want to touch on, and let's get to this. We had this shooting that was in Brooklyn. I don't know if you saw this. I'm going to pull this up because there was some video about this. The New York police, they're hunting a woman who fled a subway shooting after stabbing a gun-wielding attacker. And I've seen, like I said, I've seen some video of this. There actually was video. They said it's harrowing video. The woman who has not been identified apparently was stabbing the dude in the back before declaring that she didn't do anything. And she stabbed this guy who was wielding a gun during a train brawl. This seems like a daily occurrence now in New York. Have you noticed this? This is like a daily occurrence. Because there's two different stories on this. There was one where, actually, they've had a couple of different instances of this. There was one on the Brooklyn A train. There was a brawl on the Brooklyn A train that was this week. Then they had another one where there was a cop that was being assaulted. Then they had an agitator who got shot in the head with his own gun. This is all in New York City subway. Didn't she send the National Guard or something to the subway? Didn't Kathy Hochul do that? I mean, I heard it too. So they're looking at this woman. This guy was, you know, it seems like when I read the story that she intervened. Yeah. And she was trying to stop this guy. Yeah. And because the guy ended up shooting someone and she intervenes and stabs him. And then she runs away because probably they're going to, you see what the New York police do. If you defend yourself or anybody else in the subway, like Daniel Penny, then they go at you. You're supposed to allow yourself to get violated. But there was an ABC reporter, Joyce Philippe, who took some video also. And there were terrified passengers. Like, the looks on these passengers' faces, they are absolutely terrified. They're, like, crouching. They're trying to hide. They're trying to make themselves small. It's wild. But and they were screaming, get us out, get us out. And then I love, you get the deputy commissioner going out. Well, we still encourage people to take the trains tomorrow. Are you going to make them safe? Are you going to make them feel safe? So the 32-year-old, though, this woman stabs this guy. And there's such a dust-up. It's so confusing. Nobody knows what's happening. But they're looking for her. The train is a terrifying place in New York. The subway is a terrifying thing. Because it's like no man's land. They didn't even want to police it. They sent bots to do the job. They sent bots to do it. So coming up, we have to have a serious discussion. Because there are two films. One is Getting Murdered. And I was telling you about it. That's the Roadhouse one. And then the other, I don't know if you guys have seen this. You guys are familiar with The Crow. This came out when I was in ninth grade with Brandon Lee. And it's part of goth canon. I don't know if you are familiar with that or not, but it is. Well, they're remaking it with Bill Skarsgård, the guy who played It, Pennywise the Clown. And I like Bill Skarsgård. I don't know if I like his makeup in this movie because they make him look like a meth head. In the original one, he really wasn't like that. He was just like, you know, a musician, a rock and roll guy. So I don't know what I think about it. We're going to have a conversation because They need to stop taking and redoing movies. And did you hear what Nicolas Cage said? Someone asked him whether or not they're going to do a National Treasure 3. And he said no. And he's like, if you're looking for treasure at Disney, you won't find it. Okay. Nick Cage ain't playing. So we're going to get into all this and more. Field of Greens. Look, you need to eat X amount of vegetables and all of that stuff every day. You need to eat X amount of nutrients, and you know this. But sadly, most people are not getting that every day. And this is where Field of Greens comes in. It's not a supplement. This is nutrition the way nature intended. 100% USDA organic fruits and vegetables. It's real organic superfood loaded with antioxidants, fiber, and prebiotics. And it was all formulated by a team of physicians. And you have one scoop mixed with 8 ounces of water because they put it all into a powder. And you can make it into a smoothie, put it into fruit juice, milk, non-dairy, water, whatever. And this is the easiest way, instead of sitting there eating all your veggies, this is the easiest way to get all of those nutrients. And you'll love it. But if for any reason you don't, they'll give you a 100% money-back guarantee, which, I mean, why wouldn't you not love it? I would much rather do this than sit and eat like a whole plate of, I actually like broccoli, but I hate carrots. And I don't want it, but this, I'll eat them if they're in this. So to start, Field of Greens is going to give you 15% off plus free rush shipping. Make sure you use promo code Dana, though, to get that. So visit fieldofgreens.com, use promo code Dana, and make sure you get that free rush shipping and 15% off your first order. Trust Field of Greens for better health.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Would you say you're enthusiastic about Biden running again right now?
No.
Well, y'all want no.
At least she's honest.
At least she's, yeah, she's being honest about it. Good for her. No. I'm not. There are a lot of people who aren't. But I want to warn you, that doesn't necessarily mean that they are going to run. I told Jesse Waters this. It doesn't mean that you have these Democrats that are going to go and be Republicans. Republicans still have to earn that vote. They can't just be like, well, Biden sucks. There it is. Welcome. No. No, this is transactional, people. That's what an election is. It's transactional. What do I get for the investment of my vote? What is it that I get? That's the big thing. And so these voters are going to, I mean, Republicans could step up and they could do some of this. I know the RNC has been filing suits to purge like dead voters and or old names that are fraudulent stuff on voter rolls. And I think that's like one little bitty thing that they can do. But they need, I saw this headline. This was in your prep and it makes me mad because they've decided that they're abandoning all the mail-in ballot stuff. Oh, they are. That's not even, I'm not, like, that's not an exaggeration. They actually are. And I find it, I think it's the dumbest thing ever. So the RNC has officially killed their mail-in voter effort. And this is according to a number of different reports, including some conservative ones. They're, because they've had a bunch of layoffs and budget cuts, which is, you know, that I think it's to be expected. I'm not, some of it, honestly, should have happened a lot earlier. But they had this like, it's a grow the vote program. They're trying to, you know, low info voters. They're trying to get all this stuff out. And it looks like now they're not going to be doing it. They don't want to do any. And I get it. The idea of mail-in voting. Look, there's two separate things that I'm arguing here. I'm not arguing in defense of mail-in voting at all. I'm not. But for the states that have it, if Democrats really want to have it, all right, we're your Huckleberry. Let's do this. Republicans should be all over it, and they should exploit it to such a degree that Democrats call to end it. That's what we should be doing. But we're not. So they officially scrapped the GOP's plan to encourage early voting. And I'm not a big supporter of that even. I think we should have one national holiday, and then for different situations, then fine, go ahead and have mail-in voting. Like if you're in the military, you know, sometimes you can't, you're out of town because you can't avoid it, college, whatever. I get it. There are exceptions and I'm fine with that. But I think that they should have signature matching and all of that other stuff, which a lot of states don't. But my point is that the states that have it, the Republican Party should be completely exploiting this to the point where it makes Democrats uncomfortable. And Republicans can do this. Let's not forget that the Republican Party spearheaded and used to own the whole mailer thing with voters and information distribution. That was back like during the days of our grandparents. They owned that. Now they're giving it up. When it's still actually very monumental in terms of information, because mailers do count, which is shocking, I know. But for the older generation, it does. Mailers are super important for that generation. Whereas a lot of people get their stuff on social, right? I get it. But abandoning this is going to have such a negative impact on the GOP. I don't know what they're thinking here. I have no clue what they're thinking. This is not one of the things that I would cut. In fact, I would put it, I'd inject it with a steroid shot. I would absolutely do that. I would exploit the states that have mail-in ballots, that do all the early voting. I would exploit that to such a degree that Democrats demanded a reform and to end it. But instead, we're waving the white flag of surrender. I am just, I mean, it just blows my mind. And I don't believe that, because people argue about mail-in voter fraud, and I understand, you know, Trump thinks that that's one of the things that upset him, or he says that it cost him the race in some states. Again, the states that have it, you don't abandon it. So you're going to let them do it again, and you're not going to do anything? You're not going to have a presence? What the hell? I mean... Why are you? Oh, my gosh. Why? Again, I think they should exploit it until Democrats are like, no, Republicans are too good at it. We've got to end it. That's what we should be doing. Absolutely. All right. Coming up, we got a whole bunch of other stuff. This St. Patty's Day Eve. We have culture. We got law and order. We got all the latest with the border, TikTok, everything else. And later on in the show, the runaway Sheree Curry is going to join us because the trans tyrants are trying to cancel her. Stick with us. Have you seen any of those viral videos, the ones that show aisles stacked with emergency food supplies in stores? It kind of makes you wonder, like, what do they know that you don't? Well, you already know how I feel about being prepared myself. So why bother with the hassle of stores, which, you know, just mark up all their prices when you can order directly and save? With Wise Food Storage, you're guaranteed access to delicious, high quality food exactly when you need it the most. Visit wisefoodstorage.com and enter code Dana in the search bar to unlock exclusive deals just for you, like their current offer, the buy one, get one free on their 72-hour survival food kit. Not only that, but Wise Food Storage offers fast and free shipping on most orders. With their remarkable 25-year shelf life, these provisions will be ready for you whenever the need should arise. So instead of endlessly doom-scrolling through all the videos, wondering what catastrophe could be next, take action and secure your food supply today at wisefoodstorage.com. Type Dana in the search bar for exclusive deals. That's wisefoodstorage.com and use code Dana.
And there have been about 400,000 of these unaccompanied children that have come to the United States during President Biden's term of office. Can you tell us where they are now?
We can give you information on the vetting process and
I ask you, do you know where they are now?
As I said to you, we can tell you who the vetted sponsors were that received
these kids. That's not what I ask you.
Well, at least John Cornyn is asking him some kind of question. He's finally doing something. There you go. That's this was just what yesterday that Cornyn was grilling Xavier Becerra over this crazy. I can't believe they've lost all of these kids. And we talked about this before when last year, I can't believe I'm saying this either. The New York Times did this whole story where they got into how there were a number of kids that had been, I don't want to, like, lost by the Health and Human Services, DHS, all of these people who are running this human trafficking and calling it, you know, immigration. They can't find any of them. And there's a massive number of kids that have gone missing. These are the kids that were brought over by themselves. And I mean, not 19-year-olds. Like 12-year-olds, like legitimate 12-year-olds. And they have no idea where they are. And a lot of them, because of that Flores agreement, were brought over to expedite the entry of the group that they were brought over with. Welcome to the program. Welcome back. Top of the second hour. Dana Lash here with you. That is such a troubling, troubling thing. And I'm pulling up this piece. that I had. It's, I think it's behind paywall now, but I'll find out. I've sent this out to you, I think, a couple of times before. And the thing that the one big thing that they came out with was that they were mad. The New York Times piece had said that this was when they had the audio soundbite of Xavier Becerra, who was on a conference call with some of these third party government contractors. And he was telling them that they need to run this like a Ford assembly line, like a Ford production line. And the processing of all of the kids going through. And it really just was pretty eye-opening from these third-party contractors, because he was saying that how slowly they were going was shameful. And they wanted them to get processed, and that it made it to where these kids, when they were being sent somewhere, these third-party government contractors couldn't even really check and see and make sure that they were going somewhere that was legit and not, and I hate to say it, but like a groomer's gang or something like that. So they've just lost contact with a ton of them. And it's sad. But this was, I think, like really good line of questioning. Kane, you made a really good point on break, though, about all of this, particularly about all of the, because I haven't seen Democrats pretend to care about this at all. But when they could use the optic of kids in cages, Kane.
Oh, yeah. Or kids being, quote unquote, separated from families when we couldn't verify that they were actually real family of these children. And they demonized that policy because of the kids. Mm-hmm. They demonized it because of the kids. And here we are. They've lost track, quote unquote, of 400,000 children.
Yeah. The New York Times piece says HHS, and this was done February of last year. They said, while HHS checks on all minors by calling them a month after they begin living with their sponsors, the data obtained by the Times shows that over the last 2 years, the agency could not reach more than 85,000 children. And they said, overall, the agency lost immediate contact with a third of these kids. Now, this is different from, you know, the people brought over as you know, that are come over at like 19 years old, 20 years old, or the people who pose as kids. These are actual legitimate kids. And in many instances, they are brought over with groups of random adults. Because remember the Flores Agreement, you all remember this, that allowed for groups that were coming over with kids to be expedited through the process and released into the interior faster. And so the cartels realized, my gosh, we have a whole sub business here of rent-a-kid. So these families that needed money or that wanted to raise money to go over themselves were pimping their kids out basically to get people across the border and processed and then released into the interior faster. And then these kids would be sent back to Mexico. They'd end up going back to Mexico and coming over again. I can't tell you how many Border Patrol that I've spoken with, and it's more than four of them. Actually, it's a whole handful of them, because I've had lunch with some border agents, and they really were like discussing how bad this actually is. And they were saying that one agent said she saw a child five or six times, the same kid, over the course of like a year and a half, because they come in and they get expedited, and then that family makes money off of that. And then they can make it, they like use that, and then they make money off of that, and it makes it easier for these groups of people that are paying the cartel, and then the cartel will bring the whole family. That's how and a number of border agents said that they have seen the same kid before doing this. So go back to the kids in cages thing. That started actually under Obama when he made this whole open borders thing horrible. And all of these kids were coming across the border, and he was the one that implemented the policy. Well, when a kid comes with a group, let's separate them real quick. And I think, what is it? It's not supposed to be longer than 48 hours. Isn't that what it is? 24 or 48 hours. Separate them so that we can assess and make sure that these kids are actually their kids, that they're at, because they were arresting people who were bringing kids over for child trafficking. A number of them. So they were, oh my gosh, so they stopped it. But they didn't stop the border. They separated the adults from the kids so that they could assess. But, you know, whenever government does it, they shouldn't have had an open border in the first place. But they couldn't assess it quickly enough because the open border meant a deluge coming across that they couldn't keep up with. They weren't going to resource it. They weren't going to staff it. But they had a huge, massive number of people trying to illegally enter. So they couldn't keep up with it. And they were trying to separate kids and adults at the border. And so under Obama, when it started, it immediately was not a 24 to 48 hour thing. It started going longer than that because they didn't have the resources to add this extra step. They didn't have the resources to deal with a massive number of people crossing illegally in the first place, made worse by, hey, if you have a kid, you get expedited and processed faster. So then when Trump got into office, that policy continued. And then suddenly Democrats had a problem with it. And they went down and said, this is horrible. It has to stop. You're separating kids from this is just they acted as though it was done as a punitive measure when it wasn't. And it ended up ending. And so now under Biden, it doesn't exist at all. And so you have all of these kids that have gone missing. Thousands and thousands of kids that have gone missing. And to the New York Times' credit, they did this great piece on it. The third party contractors were snitching on them. They said it's dangerous. The Times spoke, they said, with over 100 children who entered illegally in 20 different states. Many of them were sold into basically child labor. So they would have they'd be sent somewhere and then an adult would go in for the job interview at a factory job, but then a kid would show up to do the job. And then because they were like night hours or late hours, there wasn't really a lot of supervision there to double check and make sure that this person was who they said that they were. And they said that this really exploded in 2021. All the systems meant to protect the kids totally broke down. They said that they found children in middle school, legitimate, like people, children who had been brought in solo illegally in middle school, making Fruit of the Loom socks in Alabama. They found a factory or a sweatshop basically in Los Angeles where children that had been brought in illegally were sewing Made in America tags into J. Crew shirts. They said that the more kids that arrived, the Biden White House didn't increase the staffing, but they increased the demands on the staffers. And the caseworkers were telling them, you cannot rush through vetting these sponsors. You cannot rush on vetting the people that are bringing them in. You cannot do this. So they said that the Times showed that they lost over 85,000 kids and they couldn't make contact with a third of the kids that came in. That's terrifying. And they said that the federal government would sometimes hire child welfare agencies to track minors that they thought were high risk. But they said that HHS regularly ignored obvious signs of exploitation. They interviewed under 100 caseworkers, and they all said that they believed about 2/3 of the children brought in illegally were being exploited. Either labor or child trafficking, something. But, you know, doesn't matter when you're Xavier Becerra, you want it done quickly. You want it done quickly. They interviewed this guy, Doug Gilmer, who's head of the Birmingham, Alabama Office of Homeland Security Investigations. He said, yeah, we've turned a blind eye to the trafficking. We have. So here, Xavier Becerra on record saying he doesn't know where 400,000 of these actual children, not people posing as children, actual kids that are brought in solo or brought in with adults that may or may not be related to them. This is what the open borders policy has done. There are so many devastating consequences. This is just one of them. It doesn't make it less devastating, but that just gives you the idea of the scope of how heinous this is. It's a sad, terrible thing. And he just seemed to not even be moved by it. Like, he was just straight face and they're talking to him about it. So we also have this audio. This is, maybe we should get into this coming up because we have, now they're kind of bickering on some of the stuff with Haiti. But the what's going to happen if you have all these people coming over demanding asylum? The Biden administration is inclined, if their record's anything to go by, to give it to them. We also have some very interesting, I got a great soundbite for you about ByteDance, the parent company of TikTok, because that fight is continuing in the Senate. And if ByteDance doesn't sell their algorithm to go with it, the argument is that it makes TikTok worthless.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
You can never go wrong with the undertones. It was Teenage Kicks. We're doing all of our St. Patty's Day. Got my St. Patty's Day bumper for you. You can't hear it on the simulcast, though, because licensing. So that's why I'm telling you who it is. All right, so, a couple of things here. This is the worst tattoo idea. No. But it could be a good Rickroll idea. A 25-year-old tattoo enthusiast got a QR code on her tattooed on her right arm, and it plays Never Gonna Give You Up on repeat when it's scanned with a smartphone. She's actually Rickrolling everybody. Forever. With a QR code. It is forever. It. Kane.
Love when you tattoo fads.
You know, I thought we were going to have like cures for diseases and flying cars in 2024. But now we have checks notes. People tattooing QR codes on themselves to play Rick Astley's Never Going to Rickroll people. Okay, all right. That's what we're going to do. Then we deserve Smod. Please let Smod kill us all. All right, so they're suspending, this is from Lorraine, they're suspending University of Maryland Greek life indefinitely. The university said it was barring new member activities for sororities and fraternities and any events where alcohol is present on or off campus. They said they suspended all of it. Multiple groups, they said, were conducting activities that threatened the safety and well-being. But the thing is, though, is that it seems like they went really, really way over the top with it. Instead of targeting the ones that were problematic, which were a few, but not the majority of them, they just suspended it for everybody. But the other thing, too, that Lorraine noted is that they were demanding a whole bunch of stuff from these students. It almost sounded like multiple students said that investigators were demanding their cell phones so they could look at their text messages, their calendars, other private information. And that they said they were telling their students, give us your phones, no warrants or anything. But they were wanting to look at all of these students, all of their devices. So that's like way above the top, people. Come on, that's crazy. That's way over the top. Also, let's see here. I got a couple of others. So the Penguins thing. Did you guys see this last night? I thought it was a joke, but they said the Penguins announced today that the shipment carrying the Jaeger bobbleheads for last night's game, it was Yamir stolen.
The
Jaeger bobbleheads were stolen en route to Pittsburgh. And so they could not distribute them at last night's game. They said they were going to distribute them at a later date. Someone stole a giant truckload of bobbleheads.
Like half a million or something? How much
was it? What are you going to do with it? It's like if you sell them, people are going to immediately know. You're going to out yourself. And then don't you get in trouble if you sell them? If you know that they're stolen and you sell stolen merchandise, that's like a whole other thing. So how do you even know? How do you even know this? This is amazing. What are they going to do with it? That seems so dumb. All right, coming up, we have some culture. We have Law and Order, the latest with TikTok. Stick with us.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You, the company. That said, there is also a thought that given that 170 million users and the revenue number, you know, you could have a business that could be worth as much as $100 billion here in the U.S. if you include the algorithm along with the source code. And that's where things get very complicated, because no one expects that the Chinese and ByteDance are going to let any buyer of this, if that were to even happen, get a hold of the algorithm and the source code. And so the question then becomes, well, what are you getting? You're getting a user base, I guess, and you're left with having to try to figure it all out.
Yeah.
And put some sort of a engine on this thing that will make people continue to want it in the way that they obviously have in the past, and that has made it so effective. So continued questions about what a ban would look like, what it would result in, whether there is a capital markets transaction that ByteDance can accomplish somehow in the U.S., and of course, Leslie, whether or not they'd ever consider including, which seems highly unlikely, the algorithm and the source code along with it.
Well, then where's the value? if you can't do that. But he brings up a really, really good point. That's David Faber saying that Meta and Google wouldn't be allowed to buy it. And wouldn't that, by the way, if even if Meta did, isn't that like three, there's only like three or four entities in this space. If they moved to buy it, that would almost certainly be blocked as like an antitrust thing, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. They have Instagram.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they wouldn't be able to do it. So if ByteDance doesn't sell their algorithm, then where's the value in it? Because how would it operate? First off, welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of the second hour. And you can listen coast to coast. Channel 347 DirecTV if you're watching the video component of the radio program. And you can also find us on X. This might be because it's Friday and it's at the end of a long week, but can't answer this question for me. Could something like this be solved if companies that distributed information in this manner, be it Facebook or Instagram or X or TikTok or whatever, would this issue be resolved if there was a modification of Section 230 that defined inorganic algorithms as editorialization, thus creating the obligation for such social media platforms to operate as strictly platforms, because it doesn't say platform or facilitator or anything in Section 230, contrary right. to popular belief.
Publisher, yeah.
But you would be treated, because if you are a newspaper and you're selecting what people see on the front page, that's literally no different from being a social media platform and you are selecting what people read as it comes up. It is the same thing. It's a publication at that point. So is this something that could be resolved with a simple modification of Section 230 to redefine that inorganic algorithm as you are a publisher at that point?
I see it as twofold, and that is one of the folds there. But I think the other one would be the terms of service, because I think what we're talking about now is that these social media companies and anybody that you've given access to, thanks to the terms of service you've agreed to, you've given them access to that data that we're so concerned about being sold. So maybe we could actually look at the terms of service as well and see maybe there's something there that we can prevent at the very beginning before we enter into any agreement with the social media company.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. Because this, I mean, in looking at this source code or the algorithm that they have, I mean, if they took that's like the valuable aspect of it. Anybody can recreate essentially how TikTok operates, but it's the algorithm, it's that source code that's valuable. I mean, we were talking yesterday about how much we think that's worth. Yeah. Now, Steve Mnuchin, former Treasury Secretary, is apparently putting together, I guess, a bid or going to try to go. But am I weird in thinking you're a former member of government? I feel weird about that. No. Is that...
I suspect, I mean, and am suspicious of anybody that can just walk up and be like, yeah, I'm going to put a couple of my friends together. We're just going to buy this $240 billion company. You know, the one that spies on you and has all your data and can sell it to people and use it in whatever way they want. Yeah, no, I'm skeptical too.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying that I think, I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. Anybody who's in government, I'm immediately like, you're weird. And I don't know if I want them purchasing. I don't know. But then I'm like, but Dana, so I'm arguing with myself here, you know,
right.
the good angel and the bad angel, or they're both just angels at this point, because is there a bad one right now? I don't know.
At this point.
Yeah. Anyway. But Dana, are you saying that you don't want the government to, you know, want the government to get involved and tell people what to purchase? No, I'm not saying that at all. I just feel weird that it's Steve Mnuchin and it was a member of the government. You know, and that's, you know, big government to be worried about the guy. You see how it's also weird? It's also weird. Anyway.
And plus, it's the basic idea of TikTok or any app that you use all the time has a window into your life, has a window into your data, has a window into your stuff. Give fewer people that access.
People are on social media too much anyway. I said this in the very beginning. And long ago, I did write online, and I wrote about my family and all this other stuff. But then I'm like, as you know, people started getting older, I'm like, yeah, it's not really my place to write about, especially as your kids start growing and all of that. But I do think people share too much, and it's become too easy to prey on them in more ways than one. I'm not talking about just stalkers or axe murderers. I mean, you know, like psychological divide, like messing with people. Entire countries mess with people now, and our citizenry everywhere across the world, they make it easy. So many people are on social media. Social media is the matrix. I've been saying this forever. It is the matrix. You are in it already. And when Facebook went down, or when, what was it, Facebook that went down the other day, and people lost their minds. I didn't even know. I've just been not enjoying like Facebook and Instagram lately. I get aggravated at it because people in real life that I know are like, well, I said something on Instagram. Didn't you see? No, you flipping moron. I didn't see. Do you know why? Because I don't live my ever-loving life on Facebook. Get the hell out and touch grass. I didn't see. What happened to be like, you're my friend, I'm going to let you know something. Here it is, text or call. I feel like I'm a 90-year-old right now. But I am becoming so hostile to this stuff. I don't know. And then everybody curates a version of their life that they want you to see. Right. It's all so damn fake. And I can't stand the influencer stuff. I cannot even go on. Everybody I know who's on Instagram is getting into influencing. I get it if you have a business and you're promoting your business, because I have friends that do that, but they also share, you know, about their lives. And I don't know. Sometimes I think they over, I don't know. But when every post is like, you're promoting something, I want the sweet meteor of death to hit us all the faster. I can't stand it. So I don't know. Everybody wants to be a social media brand. I was having a conversation about this with some friends of mine, and this is affecting politics too. Everybody wants to be a social media brand. And that's what it's going to take, I think, even in politics. There's been a big discussion about this going on online, that, you know, you modern elections are won by if you run yourself as a brand or not. This has been happening for 20 years. For like 20 years. When I first got started, I'm going to sound like an old like octogenarian here. So when I first got started in the digital space, my first website was like a PHP platform. And I did culture and I wrote about music and just fun stuff, you know. I had a newspaper column, and I wrote about, you know, life and being a mother and all this stuff. And that's when all these big companies started getting into the whole mom blogging thing. And every person was being encouraged to treat yourself as a social media brand. I'm sorry, but not all of you are meant to be brands. Not all of us are meant to be brands. Some of us just need to be people. We all can't just be brands trying to, you know, aggravate the hell out of each other to buy each other's crap. Okay, stop. But that's what all these companies like Johnson & Johnson, all these major companies would have these huge events, and they would bring all these women out, and they would give them free lunches and all this free stuff. And it got to where it was oversaturated. I'm just like, I hate this. I didn't go to anything. I was just done with it. And I ended up leaving the whole sphere altogether because it was annoying. It was contrived, and it was corporate. And I just, you know, that wasn't my jam. So I see it happening with politics now. It's happening the same way. And it's so obvious. It's so contrived. You know how you can tell a politician, man or female, is running for office? The men get cowboy boots and they've never worn cowboy boots and they lose weight. The women get an ungodly amount of extensions and they fill their face up. That's what happens. You can see it in some of them now. Am I wrong, Kane? Everyone do this like brand makeover, and then they you can tell by the whole storefront, I think is the way I'm trying to put it. Their storefront, which is on social media, right? The image that they project, that's their storefront. That's their display window. The goods are out there, right? And then some people, when you open the door, you find out that it's just like a one-dimensional set piece. I had some people that were mad at me because I talked about RFK Jr. on Jesse Waters' show last night. I don't have anything against him. I just don't think he's a conservative. And I got to tell some of you conservatives out there who are pissed that Ron DeSantis isn't running, and you guys are like, I'm going to go for RFK Jr. Go ahead and be a Democrat. Don't sit here and tell me about your conservative bona fides. Don't tell me about any of that stuff, because you're going for a guy who literally like demonized gun owners. You're going for a guy who said that climate skeptics should be jailed. You're going for a guy who actually said in a Reason interview, I have the receipt, so don't, in a interview with Reason magazine, that if Congress gave him a gun control bill, he'd sign it. So don't sit here and act like you're some sort of influencers or authoritarians on conservatism if you're going to go for Democrat light because you're mad about how the primary didn't work out. Principles are principles, no matter who's on the damn ticket. And I mentioned this on Jesse Waters' show, and oh my gosh, I had some people. So if you see me getting a little sassy with some people some days, just, you know, please give me some grace. Because I said too long, didn't read, and then something unflattering. Because my point is that the question was, do you think that RFK Jr., if they have Aaron Rodgers on the ticket, is that going to pull away from Biden? I don't think it will. I really don't think it will. Because Democrats circle the wagons. When push comes to shove, they defend their own. The right doesn't. And I think it's because the right just doesn't like following the group. We're not team players. And that's a good thing and a bad thing, because it's like herding cats. It really is. But at the same time, I don't think it's going to hurt Democrats, because Democrats, it may pick off some of the Democrats who want a more sanitized, smarter, sentient version of Biden. But I think the only people that it's really going to get are those people who were Democrat, who voted Republican because of Trump, and then they're now disillusioned. And so they might consider, that's the only thing I can think of. It's not going to, he's not even going to be enough to be a Jill Stein in some states, or maybe even Ross Perot. I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm just saying that that's how I think this is going to play out. Is Aaron Rodgers going to be that much of a draw as a VP ticket? I can't imagine that being. I do think it's crummy how they went after him with the Sandy Hook accusation. You had this lady at CNN who said that, she remembers Aaron Rodgers saying all of this stuff about Sandy Hook not being real. Chick, you sat on this for 12 years and you only said something the day after they announced that he's going to be on that he might be on the ticket. 12 years, you didn't think it was important enough to say anything, but you, the day after, shut the front door. No, girl, no. I told Waters, I said, they're trying to LBJ him. Hunter S. Thompson, in one of his pieces, I think it was for Rolling Stone, I can't remember, this is back in the 70s, and he went and he was writing about politics and the presidential election and all this. And LBJ, maybe it was in the 60s, LBJ was in Texas. He was running for a statewide office, and he was in a competitive race with this other dude. So he told his campaign staff, yeah, go ahead and tell everybody that the guy's a pig fornicator. Let's go ahead and let this float. That's not the F word he said. And his staffer was like, sir, we can't do this because A, that's gross, and B, it's not true. And LBJ said, yeah, well, son, that's not the point. The point is to get the SOB to deny it. That's what they just LBJ'd Rodgers. That's what they did. We have more on the way. But for the people who got mad over the RFK Jr. stuff, it's true. So I'm just the messenger. TLDR.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So we didn't have time for this one yesterday, but this is clever, but you're going to get caught. A Florida man wearing an Amazon uniform was caught on camera replacing a full package with an empty box in DeLand. Volusia County Sheriff's Office, they're investigating home surveillance video. It caught a guy who was wearing the Amazon uniform replacing this package that went out to somebody's house minutes prior with an empty box. It happened at Quail Hollow neighborhood. That's different. That's a different trick I haven't heard about before. But they said, yeah, guy, I'm wearing an Amazon. I bet you can get an Amazon uniform on Amazon.
Probably.
Yeah, you got to be careful about this stuff. So, like, what, now video is not even deterring people anymore? Sad. Moving on here. A Florida teen with a Will Run license plate fled cops at 145 miles per hour on the freeway. This comes out of Fox 35 Orlando, Volusia County. It had the will run tag. This teenager was not going to get caught, I guess, weaving in and out of traffic through two different counties. He's got a man, he came out of the 80s. That kid came out of the 80s. Although that's a grown-ass man. He's got a mustache. But it says will run. And guess what? The sheriff's office will pursue. And they did. They arrested 19-year-old, arrested Ashton, A-S-H-T-I-N. That's your first problem. Ashton Jarvis, after he recklessly fled from deputies. It's not ever going to work. Don't ever try that, people. It's dangerous. And we have our third hour on the way. Now, coming up in our third hour, the Runaways, Sheree Curry, is going to join us because the trans tyrants tried to cancel her because she literally stuck up for kids. I know. She's a rock and roll icon. Stick with us.
We are not planning for any, we are not actively planning for any evacuation. And I would remind you and others that Haiti has been a level 4 country with respect to our travel advisor since 2020. So what that means is for 4 years, we have been telling Americans, do not go to Haiti. Do not travel there. It's not safe to do so. And for those who are there, leave as soon as you can feasibly do so without putting yourself at risk.
So you don't anticipate, or put it this way, so no plans to evacuate as of now. Do you anticipate there may be some support for evacuation for those few hundred or however many there are?
We will always provide information to American citizens that reach out to us when we can do so. For example, if there's information about the operations at the airport that becomes available, we'll make that known to Americans who reach out to us. But we are not actively planning for any evacuation. No.
So he said a level 4 country?
Yeah.
Matt, who's that, Matt Miller, you said?
Yep.
Welcome back to the program real quick, though. Dana Lash here with you, top of this third hour. The runaway Sheree Curry now joins us at the bottom of the hour. But that's Matt Miller, and he's talking about a level 4 country, Haiti. You know, some people got in trouble for saying that that country was an it Shay Olhe country, which is Pig Latin for level 4. And I feel like if they knew that for a long time, nobody's motivated to go, well, hey, maybe we should take a look at what's happening at our border and the people coming. I don't know, maybe we should have a little discretion as to what's happening at the southern border and everyone who's coming through, particularly now, because we've got this issue with this overspill, and you've got Venezuelan gangs, you've got Colombian gangs, now you've got the Haitian gangs. And I can't not mention this again, the NBC piece that they tweeted this out. I put this in your prep if you are a subscriber over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. The the story they put out was they were going after what they called quote-unquote right-wing influencers for saying or spreading the misinformation that there are cannibal gangs in Haiti. And then literally later on in the piece, they're like, well, yes, they do eat people, but it's, you know, to scare the other gangs, to scare their rival gangs. Like, can't a guy just eat a person? Just eat a man and not be called a cannibal? I mean, you guys are so judgmental. I mean, how many people do you got to eat to be called a cannibal, according to NBC, Kane?
I don't know.
I mean, we should ask them, what is the official count? Like, how many people do you have to eat?
Even if it's part of one.
Yeah. I mean, that act by itself, I can't believe we're debating this, but it's our, hey, it's the press. I didn't do this. Don't get mad at me. Because I would just simply think that, you know, the act of eating someone is called cannibalism.
Yes, that is truly the definition.
Yeah, so.
I don't think it takes 3 humans to eat before you can be labeled.
I feel like this is a total commercial.
Why are we shaming cannibals? Is that what this is about?
They write, Elon Musk and conservative influencers have spread unverified claims to millions, smearing Haitian migrants as cannibals. Well, they were talking about the cannibal gangs, and then they get down. Let me go look at this. Then they get in there, and they talk about the violent gangs, and then they talk about all of the different tactics that the gangs use to try to scare each other or to seem tougher. And they actually admit that, yeah, some of them do. But it's only not because they find human flesh delicious. It's because they're trying to scare their rival gangs. So it's only cannibalism if you enjoy it.
Oh.
Is that
what it is?
This is our press, guys. It's our press. They talked to this guy who's a counterterrorism researcher, and he's like, yeah, well, I mean, they said that they actually talk about a video of Haitian gang members eating people in this piece. But don't say that they're eating people. And the counterterrorism researcher goes, well, yeah, I mean, you know, the whole point is you're trying to appear as the craziest person because nobody wants to mess with the crazies. It's a tactic. That's a whole thing. But they're like, yes, they are eating people. But it's only because they're trying to scare these other gangs. Oh my gosh. It's like, don't call him a murderer. He only murdered one person. He's not a murderer. Or it's like, they're not a rapist. They only raped one person. He's not a cannibal. He just ate a guy. It's, you know, meh. Oh my gosh. Our media. I mean, they literally confirmed it. The accusations of widespread cannibalism are based on what experts say are intimidation tactics from select gang members. In some videos, members of violent gangs bite into human flesh. They're trying to scare rivals and terrorize local Haitians, rather than it being a reflection of common and normalized behavior. That's actually, I'm reading right from the piece. Just one guy, Kane.
Yeah.
Let the man eat a man. Come on. Barbecue.
How did we become a society that now the media and Democrats mainly just want to protect the criminals and those that are doing these horrific things?
Oh, they want to protect all the nut jobs.
Right.
So you can be a trans terrorist and go in and shoot up an elementary school and, oh, it's so bad. I mean, don't be mean to the trans people. Wait. There's...
Right. To the point
that some dead kids in school right now. Can you maybe not?
To the point where the FBI or law enforcement will hold back manifestos and stuff in this instance.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Oh, we can't release the manifesto because they talk about trans politics in it. And we don't want that, you know, I mean, that's bad. I mean, yes, it was bad that they shut up a whole school, that she shut up a whole school, but, you know. They do this. They go after the innocent. And they protect the criminal, like the Daniel Penny guy.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, he went and he abused this infant baby homeless man who was just there trying to put smiles on the faces of people dressed as Michael Jackson. Well, he hadn't dressed like Michael Jackson in 10 years. And there were a million subreddits on Reddit talking about, wow, watch out for platform, whatever number, because this crazy dude's up there threatening to kill everybody. Every damn day he's up there threatening to kill everybody. And he hadn't dressed like Michael Jackson in a year. And he had punched a 63-year-old woman in the face. And he tried shoving another woman onto the subway tracks. And then right before Daniel Penny attacked him, he was threatening to stab and cut people and kill them all. But, you know, don't you dare condemn that infant baby man. That's how they do it. That's how the press handles all of this.
If they believe it's advantageous for them politically, they will lie to you just like that.
Yeah. Or what about the bodega owner who defended himself against a repeat offender who went in and was trying to kill him?
Yep.
Can you believe this infant baby man who just needed some money? Can you believe he was murdered by this old mean demon running a bodega? Or sorry, what did she say? Jill
bodega.
Biden, Bogota.
A bodega.
and then they demonized the innocent guy and they defended the criminal. I mean, how many instances do you see like this where this takes place every single week? Every week they'll make something up. It doesn't matter. Or like that. Oh man, where's this at? Hold up. Let me pull this up. So Joe Biden tweeted this out yesterday. And he had a statement on Next Benedict. Did you guys hear about this story? So this is a case, this neck. I'm surprised he didn't say Eggs Benedict, if I'm being honest. Next Benedict. this Oklahoma teenager. Apparently, her name was Dagny Benedict, I guess, and I don't know. Medical examination said it was a suicide. She had drugs in her system. Apparently, she overdosed. She called herself Nex. She said she was non-binary. The alphabet people, basically only the T's, were acting like she was the new George Floyd. And they said that it was a hate crime because she was non-binary, and that made it a hate crime. But then apparently, though, all of the stuff that came out about it, I mean, she was apparently a bully to other students. And that was kind of, that was like the real story of it. She apparently, I mean, I was looking at a couple of these pieces. She was kind of apparently a bully to other people. But that didn't stop Joe Biden, who couldn't get the young woman's name who was killed by the Venezuelan illegal entrant. He didn't even meet with her parents. Didn't even talk to the Riley family. Didn't talk to the parents. They didn't put out a statement like this. But he puts out a statement about this Dagny Benedict girl who said she was non-binary, but I think wanted to be a boy. He put out this huge statement. Yeah, and he didn't even say her name correctly. State of the Union, as Kane noted. This statement, he goes to LGBTQI plus young people across the country. I need to stop there. I don't understand. What's the I? What is that? What's that?
I don't know.
It's like finding a new M&M color. What's that?
Inclusionary? I don't know.
I don't know what all of it means. The plus is all the other stuff that they're too lazy to say. You don't get letters. You just get a plus. I don't know what the I is. Anyway, he goes, you're loved like you are. But he made it all about, he acted like she was murdered by people who don't like trans folks.
Intersex.
What the hell does that even mean?
Intersex.
Isn't that a movie?
I don't, probably.
Am I thinking of something different?
Probably not one.
What does that mean?
Intersex.
Oh gosh, do I want to Google this? I hate myself right now.
If that means like interchangeable, you think? Like,
I don't know. None of this makes sense. I don't know.
I'll Google it here.
Do they got, I got a way that I can define it, I guess, maybe, but I don't really want to. You do it. Do it, Kane.
Okay.
How do you do it?
The intersex definition is a person who's born with a combination of male and female biological traits.
What does that mean?
Chromosome patterns, gonads, genitals.
So you got,
I'm not comfortable talking about this right now.
You got the AC and the DC. Is that what it means?
That is true.
Okay, why is that with all the other alphabet letters?
I don't know.
Anyway, so this 16-year-old, they were saying that she got killed in a bathroom fight, and she didn't. She was actually fine. She overdosed and basically, like, killed herself. That's what ended up happening. And they're trying to act like she was murdered in the bathroom, which almost sounds like that's Panic at the Disco. Sorry. Murdered in the bathroom. I mean, she was fine, and apparently she had been bullying other students, and then apparently finally people were tired of being bullied, and then they responded, and they had a dust-up, but she was fine, and then she overdosed on drugs and killed herself, and the medical examiner said it was a suicide. So they're trying to make this out to be like, oh, all the people that oppose the trans stuff, you killed her. That's just so disingenuous, and I kind of wonder, would she be alive if she hadn't been exploited to such an extent? Probably. By the alphabet movement? Because none of these people care about kids. They don't. They really don't. And when you stand up for kids, they come for you, as we're going to find out here coming up.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right. So first up here, this story. They said the selfie culture is driving people to get plastic surgery so they look like filtered photos. Where's the sweet meteor of death? Go ahead. That is actually a thing. Wait, it's a filter. What are you trying to do? I would like to look sepia. Can you like do some plastic surgery to make me look sepia? That's so weird. I mean, I get, people wanting to fight. Time's going to get you no matter what. But like to make it like a photo filter, it's an unrealistic thing. This story is something else. I don't have this on the list, but I just saw. But a Boeing 787 flying from Sydney. This is bad. It was going to Auckland. It took a terrifying plunge because the flight attendant serving the cockpit meal accidentally hit the switch on the pilot's seat and jammed them against the jet's controls.
What does this button do?
I mean, I don't know. It was an accident. I mean, thankfully everybody's okay, but they said it was like a scene. The passenger said it was like a scene from The Exorcist. So yeah, it nosedived and there's videos of it, and it's just because they're investigating, but oh my gosh, that's feds are now targeting gamers for spreading disinformation. Get out of my dark tide lobby, you fed. White supremacy was the number one domestic terrorist threat, they were saying, until it was toppled by parents at school board meetings. Now we see this. Federal agencies are secretly collaborating with gaming companies via Twitchy to monitor and fight domestic terrorism. They're looking at Discord, Reddit, all kinds of stuff. They said it's an undisclosed collaboration. So be careful who you talk smack about, squeakers, because it could be a Fedboy.
And the TikTok ban going on, that's interesting.
Yeah, and with the TikTok ban, that's a really great point. That's just probably like, yeah, just... sure, that's all coincidental. I'm sure it is. And let's see. DFW, the Dallas-Fort Worth area, leads all metro areas in terms of population growth, adding 152,000 new residents. All right, so coming up, the one, the only, Sheree Curry. You remember her from The Runaways. She has a new album out, and they tried to cancel her, too. Stick with us.
Craving a daily dose of intellectual adrenaline? Look no further than the Dana Show podcast, where curiosity meets courage by following on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, bottom of this third hour. And you can listen coast to coast terrestrially. You can stream it, watch the video component as well on channel 347 DirecTV. We're on X. Find us YouTube, Facebook. I got to tell you, there's not a lot of times that I get so super excited to talk to somebody that I'm almost rendered speechless. It is so difficult to do. I was telling Kane that I feel like Chris Farley in that SNL skit when he's sitting down with like some iconic director or actor. And he's like, you remember that time? And he can't hardly talk because he's so excited. That's me right now. I'm like Chris Farley from SNL. Because I've been following this story. First off, I've been a friend of my next guest or a fan of my next guest for... I don't know. I think since I was aware of rock and roll, I learned to play rhythm guitar poorly and drums poorly because of people like my next guest. I love rock and roll partly because of my next guest. I mean, she is an iconic, like pioneer, like OG in rock and roll, period, men or women. Sheree Curry, you know her from the band The Runaways. She also has her own solo material, Boulevards of Splendor, fantastic album. I mean, she's got Juliette Lewis, the Veronicas on this. I mean, it's really cool. And you can go to her website. We'll have all of the stuff down in the lower third about it. Now, insanely, she was speaking out, as you would imagine, because she's, you know, not shied away from giving her opinion. She's punk rock. She spoke out in defense of women and children, particularly with this movement that we have seen lately that is really focusing on transitioning kids while they're in puberty, while they're still developing, dosing them up with hormones and pharmaceuticals before they can actually even give informed consent, because we have no idea what this stuff does to kids long term. And they've gone after her. And by they, the trans tyrant lobby has gone after her for this and most recently canceled her from a show in Arizona, which is, she was the headliner that night. Sheree Curry joins us now via Skype. And Sheree, first off, God love you. I'm so happy that you're on with me. Thank you so much, for everything that you've done for rock and roll, for all of the women and men that you've inspired, and for sticking up for our kids. I mean, you're just so hardcore. Thank you so much for that.
Dana. Well, you're so welcome. And I am such a huge fan of yours, girl. So, I mean, I'm so excited to be here and thank
going
you
on my
for being
so, by the way.
Well, thanks for being such a voice for these kids, because I'm telling you right now, I mean, there's something so evil going on that for someone like me that's been fighting for women's rights since I was a teenager, to actually see women going against women, whether it's in sports or allowing transgender men to swim, to compete against women. And the worst part for me is the children, the fact that they are indoctrinating children in school from kindergarten to third grade. I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, this is absolute insanity. I've never backed down from anything in my life, but there are three things that I would never back down from. Of course, number one was the runaways. Number two was picking up a chainsaw. I mean, it was a calling. And this, fighting against this evil presence that's after our children. I mean, I can't back down. So,
And we're glad that you don't. For those who don't know, Sheree is an amazing chainsaw artist. That's how hardcore she is. Paintbrushes don't do it. She's got to have the chainsaw. And she's like so good at it, too. We're talking with Sheree Curry via Skype. For those of you who are just tuning in, all you had done was speak out, as you just said, in defense of this. And I was actually, I don't know why this surprises me anymore. I was taken aback by the treatment that you received. Not like that, you know, deterred you at all. But people went after you as though they were going to try to get you to change your opinion. And all you did was speak out about the dangers of transitioning kids. And it amazes me, Sheree, that we're not questioning the hormones that we're pumping into kids. There are no long-term studies on this. None. We don't know what is going to happen to these kids when they get older. They're going to have to be on medication for their entire lives. I told my radio audience, I had an aunt who, when she was going through menopause, she had to get hormones that ultimately actually helped. They attribute her cancer developing to that. We don't even understand what effects this is going to have. You spoke out against that. Did the response to your concern shock you?
Well, it did. And Gretchen Bonaducci, who's really a family member to me now, from Breaking Bonaducci, I'm sure you probably heard of her. She moved to Bisbee. She bought Greenway Manor, and she's transformed Bisbee into this really amazing town. It was lacking for some time. And the only good thing about this, she was the one that was throwing this festival, is once she started to get the threats towards me and towards the festival in itself, and also bands dropping out, she's decided, and she went and filed her paperwork yesterday to run for mayor because she's had it up to here. And she's the kind of gal that we need. We need people like you, Dana, more people like you, like me, that know that this is so wrong what they're doing. And I really kind of right now feel a momentum that, of course, with the UK banning puberty blockers, and which, of course, puberty blockers is different from from the hormones that they're giving these kids. And one gal on X that I was able to meet was Luca Hine, and she was transitioned, had her breasts removed at 16, and she was having some mental issues, and they wouldn't address that. Instead, they got a hold of her folks and said, you know, do you want a living son or a dead daughter? And now she is detransitioned. She's in her early 20s, but she really speaks out about the physical damage that these drugs did to her, where she's in constant pain. Her throat, her vocal cords ache. Her joints are so painful. And also she's atrophying, usually the vagina. They start to fall out of your body. This is what they're doing to our kids.
That's the reality of it. We're talking with Sheree Curry on this. She was going to play the Riot Girl Festival in Bisbee, Arizona, and you got threats. I mean, people, the reaction, I'm from other women too, which was incredibly surprising. We always hear about consent. I grew up hearing about consent. This isn't informed consent. What's happening here? What do you make of that? Because I don't know if we're ever, I mean, we know so little about the consequences of this.
You know, to say it's evil is being kind. The only thing that I can think of is, I mean, because you have to try to make some kind of common sense out of something that's just, you can't make sense out of it. To me, I don't know if it's that they're doing it on purpose. well, of course, they're doing it on purpose. Is this some kind of population control? Who the heck knows? I mean, these are our children that will probably never have kids because of these drugs, especially these horrible surgeries that are 100% failure rate. 100%. I mean, who does that to your body? I mean, people, they can't have orgasms. They can't enjoy sex. And they're destroying these kids. They're taking that away from them. And I think it's just so evil. And I don't know if it's to keep us from seeing the real evil that's going on behind all of this, because it's something that I just cannot make any sense out of. And I'm a common sense gal, you know?
Yeah, it's sad. And you mentioned, you know, some of these detransitioners. And one of the, I've watched so many interviews and have read so many pieces that they have written, men and women. And there is a bitterness and an anger that they have. And there was one of the refrains that I see most often is the people, the adults they had trusted in their lives to protect them from these bad choices failed them. And that broke my heart.
Yeah. And not only that, I mean, the suicide rate doubles after transition. And that is starting to come out now. You know, the trans community, they like to say that it stops kids from committing suicide, but that's an absolute lie. And once you've packed up your body and you're in turmoil behind the fact that you don't feel like any person's going to want you. I mean, talk about real suicidal ideation. And that's what happens with these kids that regret it. Because again, you know, they're starting with kids that are so young. All they want to do is fit in.
Yeah.
And they're easily molded and they're easily coerced into these, what I now call the trans cult.
Yeah.
And you've got the teachers, you've got the social workers, and they're doing it behind parents' backs. And, you know, they're very lucky. They're very, very lucky, Dana, that they didn't do this 30 years ago when my kid was a couple years old, because we would have had to go, girl.
Yeah. And you're a chainsaw artist. You're very good with a chainsaw. I'm just saying. You know, talking with Sheree Curry. I love that. Like I said, I love that you spoke out about all of this. I'm sure that you've gotten privately a lot of messages of support. It's amazing that it can get so politicized like this, especially when you're just talking about kids. I mean, we're not even talking about adults making decisions with their own money and their own lives. We're talking about children that have adults in their lives to guide them to make healthy decisions. It's, you know, I look at it like if someone's bulimic, you don't aid them in something that is detrimental to their health and overall well-being. And that's really what a lot of adults in these kids' lives, I feel like, are doing.
Yes. And sometimes I don't know if it's kind of like Munchausen by proxy in a way with some of these parents that, you know, they want to be the cool parent, you know, I've got a trans kid. It's outrageous how it's quadrupled the amount of kids just from 4 years ago that are now come out as trans. And it's and the parents that get behind this because they want to be the cool parent on the block. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be so cool.
No, you're the coolest, though. So I'm just saying. So I feel like that's like the law, what you just said.
Yeah. I mean, it's very, very scary. And I think now, and it's voices like yours, Dana, and Luca Hine, and so many others as well that are causing people to take a hard look at this. Yeah. And again, I want to thank the UK because now people are going, maybe this wasn't the right. Are you guys out of your minds? The people that are behind this absolutely know why this is happening. And it is not for the betterment of our children. And it's not for the nuclear family. This is the destruction of our kids. And we're going to come after you. We're going to come after you, people. And we're going to stop you. That's what we're going to do, Dana.
That's it. Sheree Curry, absolute legend, absolute rock icon. Thank you so much for everything that you stand for, everything that you continue to stand for, all of the people that you inspire to follow your creative footsteps. We appreciate you. Anytime you want to come on, you got a microphone here. I mean, you really, you classed up the place. So we appreciate you coming on.
Are you kidding? thank you, Dana.
Thank Sheree you Curry, so much. Thank you so much. Good to talk with you.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
As we were in a work session here within the last half hour, there was a buzz among the audience as people were seeing notices come across their phone as something that was rather shocking to us. We saw the remarks from Senator Chuck Schumer calling for new elections in Israel. And we want to speak very clearly and concisely to say that this is not only highly inappropriate, it's just plain wrong for an American leader to play such a divisive role in Israeli politics while our closest ally in the region is in an existential battle for its very survival.
And that's true. That's House Speaker Mike Johnson, who was criticizing what Chuck Schumer did yesterday when he was saying that Netanyahu, he was saying he needs to go, and that basically getting involved in the elections like they always accused the former President Trump of doing. Really, I mean, it was kind of wild. This happened like right as we were getting off of air, and he called for a new election. He was the New York Times said that they didn't say that he criticized Netanyahu. They said he castigated Yahoo, and they said that Biden embraced it, had castigated Netanyahu. Criticizing Israeli leadership and then criticizing their right to self-defense are two different things. And Schumer blurred a line. Not only there, but he also blurred a line in he is the Senate majority leader. And he's demanding for another sovereign nation to have to hold a new election. Kane, how many times did they go after the previous president for this stuff, even though he never actually said this stuff?
All the times plus.
I mean, that was my first thought when I saw this yesterday. My first thought. And I'm like, whoa. He said that, you know, Israel, he goes, that's a democracy. Israel has the right to choose its own leaders. But, oh, yeah, where it is. But. And he said that it would be a grave mistake for Israel to reject a two-state solution. Okay, that was echoed by Jerry Nadler yesterday, too. This isn't Israel rejecting a two-state solution. They've never rejected a two-state solution, literally ever. Hamas, the elected government of Gaza, has it written into their charter that they will never acknowledge the existence of Israel or accept it. This is where they differ from Fatah. That is why Fatah started losing popularity in West Bank. In fact, it's one of the big drivers of dissent between Hamas and Fatah. Fatah said, okay, we'd recognize them. Hamas says no. You can't have peace with people who don't want it. Today in stupidity, came. What do we got?
Lord. It would have been Becerra, Javier Becerra. Yeah. This to me is, I mean, it's beyond stupid. It's so tragic what's happening. They yelled at Trump for his separating families thing, quote unquote, when we didn't even know who the families were. But cut nine, Javier Becerra has no idea where 400,000 kids are.
And there have been about 400,000 of these unaccompanied children that have come to the United States during President Biden's term of office. Can you tell us where they are now?
We can give you information on the vetting process and
no, I ask you, do you know where they are now?
As I said to you, we can tell you who the vetted sponsors were that received
that's
these
not
kids.
What I ask you.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, how often does he
so
gotta
frustrating.
Be? Yeah, that's not what he asked. Folks, that does it for us today. Make sure you find us on YouTube, Facebook, like and subscribe, Substack. Go sign up for Chapter and Verse. I will be back behind the mic with you Monday. Have a great weekend. God bless.